In the Missal, which is the big book from which we offer Mass, we find at the end here where they give the priest prayers to pray before Mass, a prayer called the Formula of Intent. Here's what it says. My intention is to celebrate Mass and to consecrate the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the rite of Holy Roman Church, to the praise of Almighty God and all the Church triumphant, for my good and that of all the Church militant, for all who have commended themselves to my prayers in general and in particular, and for the welfare of Holy Roman Church. Amen. Now, what that prayer reminds us as priests is that as we enter into Mass, we are called to have a very focused, purified intention or reason or purpose in what we are doing. And that's really true for all of us. You may remember when Father David was here, he always used to say at the end of the announcements, "Now let's take a moment to prepare our intentions for Mass." Our intentions are really important things, really important parts of how we live our lives. You can say really that every action that we do has two parts. There's the action itself, like picking up the phone or turning on the water, but then there's the reason, the intention behind why we do it. Am I picking up the phone to scam someone out of their money? Or am I picking up the phone to call someone who has had a loved one die and I'm going to express their condolences? Sorry, so it makes a big difference. And if our intentions are so important on just a human level, then how much more important are they in the way that we interact with God, in the way that He interacts with us? Our readings today really bring this out. So in the Gospel, we hear about this fellow who is not following Jesus around, but he obviously has faith in Jesus. He's using his name to cast out demons. And so Jesus says, let that guy do what he wants. He has the right intention. Sometimes our intentions are really the most important thing for God. Our first reading shows that. We have, of course, this moment where God is going to take the spirit of that he has given to Moses and spread it around among these 70 elders. But two of them miss it, right? They're not in the tent when they go through the big ceremony for God's spirit to come down upon these guys. But they receive the spirit anyway, Eldad and Medad out there in the camp. God knows that the intention was for those men to receive it. Their names were on the list, after all. And so even though they kind of screwed up what they did, they screwed up the ceremony, they weren't there for it, God honored their intention and gave the Spirit anyway. We should take really a lot of consolation, a lot of confidence from that idea that God gives so much weight to our intentions. If you kneel down at home to pray the rosary, and then your next-door neighbor stops by unexpected with some problem or crisis or whatever, and you take the time to be there for your neighbor, and then you get busy with the rest of your day and never get back to praying your rosary, God knows that your intention was to pray that rosary. He gives you credit for that anyway. Even in the sacraments, there I can remember one time in particular, I almost, thank God I didn't, but I almost sent someone off without giving them absolution in confession. And I can imagine, you know, like a half an hour later, they would have been like, oh my gosh, Father never actually gave me absolution, you know, what am I going to do now? Well, of course, you want to go back and make a good confession so that you can receive the sacramental graces from confession. But there's no doubt that if you drop dead right then from a heart attack, God is not going to hold any of those sins against you. They're forgiven because you intended and indeed confessed your sins. And it wasn't your fault at all that the priest screwed things up. So God gives a lot of weight to our intentions. In fact, Jesus even talks in the gospel today about what we might call a virtual intention. He says, whoever is not against us is for us. So even if we maybe are not always as focused in as we should be on why we're doing what we're doing, if we're doing it in a kind of generally good way, for a generally good attitude, Jesus is going to accept that as done for him. You know, that's part of the reason why we baptize infants. Of course, infants don't have any intentions at all. They're too young to have an intention for Jesus Christ. But of course, they also don't have an intention against Jesus Christ. And so we can claim a kind of virtual intention there for those children. Obviously, they've got to kind of fill out that intention on their own as they get older. But that general or that virtual intention, Jesus accepts that as well. So to have, he accepts even those kind of general intentions or virtual intentions because he loves us so much. So that, again, this gives us a lot of confidence, a lot of consolation that Jesus gives so much weight to our intentions. But if our good intentions are so important, obviously, so are our bad intentions. Of course, you can't make a bad action good with a good intention, but you can make a good action bad with a bad intention, right? So if I do very nice charitable things for somebody or work really hard at work or at home and succeed in lots of things, but I do it because what I really want is fame and recognition and money and power, well, those evil intentions make those otherwise good actions evil. Even in our spiritual lives, when we sit down to say our before meal prayers, if we don't put any thought into them at all, we just mumble the words, is that really pleasing to God or beneficial to us? No, because we don't have a good intention. If we pray our rosary or come to Mass, not because we are trying to get anything out of it, but just we think, oh, I'm just going to get through it as painlessly as possible, a daydream the whole time. Well, God would rather you not do those prayers at all rather than do them in such an unintentional and such a half-hearted way. And so that's how important intentions are. T.S. Eliot writes at the end of Murder in the Cathedral, the last temptation is the greatest treason, to do the right thing for the wrong reason. So we always want to purify our intentions. Now, one of the ways that we can do that is the prayers, such as the one that I just prayed at the beginning, that the church gives us. We call many of these prayers acts. So we have the act of penance that we just said at the beginning of Mass. Or we have the act of contrition that we say at the dream confession or when you do your nightly examination of conscience. There's an act of faith and an act of hope and an act of love and all kinds of other ones as well. What are these? Just pretty words so that we have something to say when we can't think of anything else? No. These are ways of focusing our intentions, purifying our intentions. We also pray the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed for these reasons, or renew our baptismal promises, or for those of you who are married, your wedding vows, for these reasons. They focus our intentions. They help us to be purified and intentional about everything that we do. Because the more focused our intentions are, the more our words, our thoughts, our actions come into alignment with those intentions and become pleasing to God. So let's ask ourselves that question today. What are my intentions? What's my intention for this Mass? What's my intention for this day? What's my intention for this week? What is my intention for my life?